Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
Did I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Not wanting to brag. Not wanting to make my humility award competition a little wobbly. However, I am a graduate of Catholic Media's School of Broadcasting, articulation and stuff. Yeah, I am. Right, Barb? Right? All right. Thanks for joining me here. Dr. Ray, 877-57-EQUAL. Let's get right to it because I want to jump into monologue. If you want to call in for questions about stuff in your life, situations, circumstances, people. I was at the office this morning, going to go back to the office this afternoon, but this little hiatus here to talk to you is nice. I'm not going to do therapy like I do at the office, but we can talk a little bit, do a little education, maybe give you a thought or two, something that you say, you know, I can use that, and I can use that as a ripple effect. If I try that, maybe there's going to be a ripple in other parts of my life, or with that person in my life. Or sometimes it is just laying to rest the fact that you can't do anything about it. We don't like when we can't do something about a relationship. The other person is unwilling. We don't like that. That's why in my most recent book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody, I insisted on almost being in there. Because there are people who just simply don't want to change at all to have a relationship. Hopefully there are not too many in your life, maybe one or two. But that said, sometimes your peace is tied to the fact of your acceptance of that. So, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. Common scenario. Parent will come into my office, very frustrated over the behavior of this youngin, be it a 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old. Very frustrated. They will see the child as particularly stubborn or strong-willed or the more difficult of their children. In other words, they will see something endemic, now that's a bad word, innate, to the child that makes them this way. Our other children aren't that way, so it's got to be this one. Well, yes and no. So that said, I offer them a little test. I call it my authority test. I ask, let's take a 6-year-old. Pull a 6-year-old. But you can use this for any age with any consequence. If you were to say to this child, that's very mean what you did to your sister. Go stand in the corner, please. Or, you're arguing. Stand in the corner, please. Or, I asked you 3 times, and you just completely ignored me. Stand in the corner, please. In other words, there is some kind of infraction. You say in a normal, non-threatening tone of voice, Here is your discipline. Accept it, please. When I put that to parents, if you were to do that, what would happen? Now, almost always with a kid who has been a chronic behavior problem in the household, parent will say, well, no, you're not going to do it. Not without a fight, not without an argument, not without coming out of the corner, not without melting down, not without resisting, not without looking at me like, who are you talking to? You in what army? Not going to happen. Some say, yeah, he would go sometimes. And then I ask, who determines the sometimes? And they say, well, he does. So then really, if he's going to accept his discipline consequence, he decides, not you. If he's not in the mood at that moment to go to the corner, then he's not going. Or he's going to start a running monologue the second he hits that corner. Or he's going to come out 23 times. Yes, that's right. So you understand now, that means you don't have any authority. Now, see, they don't look at it that way. They look at it like, well, yeah, I do, because I can take things from him. Or we have our structure and our expectations, and we're stricter than most of the parents I know. Yeah, but if you cannot get a child to accept your discipline without having to scream and yell and carry on, I have to get mad, then he listens. If you just can't simply say, you know, you need to put your head down at the dining room table, I'll set the timer, you can lift it up when the timer goes off. You need to sit down at the table and I want you to write 25 sentences. When my grandmother watches me, I will listen to what she says. Or you're going to give me 20 minutes worth of chores. Begin now, I'll tell you what they are. If you can't get that, if it risks a fight, a resistance, an opposition. And by the way, I'm sad to say this. Gosh, I suspect that in most American homes, you can't get that. Now, parents do various things to enforce it. They get really angry or they threaten. Then the child says, okay, I'll do it. Or parents will say, well, I hold him in the corner. Or they'll say, I took away his video game. Yeah, so they'll do something to try to enforce this. But the ability to simply say, you need to write a 400-word essay. Now, let's say we're talking a 14-year-old now. You need to write a 400-word essay for using that word in this house. The parent would say, I don't know if I can get that. He'll just look at me like, no way, not happening. Do you understand what that says? It says you don't have authority in your own home. You have marginal authority. But I'll ask parents, what do you do when he does this? Well, we take things away. Because that's the one thing they can actually do. They can take something away. And the child is marginally unable to resist that. But in terms of placing a consequence on the behavior, like a corner or steps or sentences or chores or an essay or define a dictionary words, that's when the trouble is threatened. Some will say, well, we take things away, it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Well, part of that is because our children have so much that when you take something away, even if it's his favorite, you're sort of scraping icing off the top of the cake because he's got so many other options. I took away his video games. He loves his video games. I took away his video games. And that just doesn't seem to matter because he's still disrespectful. Yeah, because he's still got a lot of other stuff he can do. So what do you do? What do you do to get that authority back? Now, I'm looking at the clock. And probably all I'm going to do right now is just to give you that authority test so you can look at it and say, okay, I never thought about it that way, but this is true. I can't do that. Whether my child's 6, 10, or 16, I can't do that. Not without facing major escalation in resistance. I can't. Dr. Ray, come on. Come on. If that's the way it is in our house, you can't just sit there and go, okay, well... Well, two things. I talk about how to get that authority in pretty much all of my parenting books. And at some point down the road here, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But there are ways to quietly say, please go to the corner, and to know it's going to happen. And once you can do that, discipline becomes so much easier. Discipline just becomes so much easier, and misbehavior becomes so much less. So much less. And you won't think that your kid is incorrigible. That he just doesn't listen. He won't cooperate. He's defiant. You won't think that. And, as a bonus, if you're at a gathering and you have to do something like that, the other parents will look at you. You're a parenting god, parenting goddess. How'd you do that? I read Dr. Ray's book. 877-57-EQUAL. I know somebody's going to call in and say, okay, tell me how. Well, if you do, I will.
We'll return after these messages.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. Giving you a remedial psychological education. Catholic Radio's Renaissance man for the last 7 years. Let's go to Judy from New York. Hi, Judy. Hello there. Judy. Hey, guys. Judy around? Supposed to be there. Judy, you get back to that phone right now. Quit making me beg. Her question was, is Seton homeschooling available in New York? Of course, it's available anywhere. It is a distance learning program. Now, the interesting thing about Seton is it's very rigorous, and it's very structured, particularly powerful for grammatical and literary and English-related stuff. A couple of my older children who were pretty capable academically. My wife instructed them with Seton on a lot of their, especially their verbal subjects. Well, they're all verbal, but I mean particularly focused on verbal. And on their ACTs, they got 36s. Now, I think that's because of the strength of Seton. Right? I'm not going to sit here and brag on my kids, but I think that Seton's a very, very potent program. They are very Catholic, too, extremely Catholic, unapologetically Catholic. Very large. They've got all kinds of resources. They've got all support. They've got help. They've got the curricula for you. They can follow it. They can grade it. They do all kinds of stuff. The days of 30-year-ago homeschooling where you pretty much had to figure out how to do this yourself are gone. Seton is one of many instructional programs out there to help you navigate homeschooling. And let me just say this about homeschooling. There's a cliche. What about their socialization? Nobody asks, what do you mean by socialization? To what? By whom? Socialization in a group of 18-year-old third graders? Is that socialization? I mean, that may be somehow the give and take, push and pull of kids getting along and not getting along, but that's not socialization. Socialization is instruction. Socialization is morals. It is virtue. Who does that? Parent. That's who does that. But let me also say this. There are those who have actually studied this socialization cliche. You know what they found? By various definitions of socialization, homeschoolers are every bit as socialized, if not more so, than their school counterparts. Self-images are stronger. Academically, they achieve very well. They're about the 85th percentile on achievement tests. 50th is the mid, so they're well above. They are much more active civically. They volunteer more. They tend to be more comfortable with a whole range of kids. If you see a homeschooling family, you got the 14-year-old with the 3-year-old on his shoulders. So that cliche of this, well, they're not going to be socialized at all. Huh? Not going to be socialized? Bill Bennett was giving a talk at one of the national homeschooling conferences. I was there, and somebody, of course, asked that question. And Bennett goes, socialization to what? That's an honest question. Of course, that's one of those cliches that's just repeated, and it flummoxes people who want to homeschool because, like, oh, well, I think they're going to be socialized. I want to say they're not growing up in a vacuum. You're not socializing them on Jupiter. There's people in their lives. And I was asked this question. Public education is a relatively new thing in human history. In the U.S., 100, 200 years old, pretty much. How did kids get socialized before public education? Well, they need to learn to get along with a wide range of kids, with a wide range of attitudes, with a wide range of viewpoints and religions and genders. Wide range of genders. My 9-year-old may not necessarily be mature enough to navigate all that. One of the prime reasons parents give for homeschooling is to keep their child's innocence a few years longer in this culture, because this is a culture that strips innocence. All right, before I go on too long here, I believe I'm pronouncing this right. Is it a carnelian? Is that correct?
Hello?
Am I pronouncing that right? Is it carnelian?
Yes, Lou.
All right. What does that mean? Is that a name that means something?
Is that what?
Carnelian. That's an interesting name. Does it mean something?
Oh, carnelian means Constance Cornelius in the Bible.
Okay. Maybe we got the spelling.
The 39 of Cornelius is carnelian.
Maybe we got the spelling wrong on that. Okay, so you're asking what book did I mention in my opening monologue?
Yeah, about getting authority over the children at school.
I was wondering when somebody was going to call in, because there for a while nobody was calling in, and I'm thinking, well, I don't either have any listeners, or two, nobody struggles with that kind of one-sentence authority, that kind of calm authority. Okay, I have a book called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's a bestseller, sold a lot of books. In it, I talk about what happens when you try to place honest, legitimate, calm discipline on a kid and they fight you. What do you do? How do you get that authority? So I talk about that in the book at great detail. I give you all kinds of strategies on how to do that. The book is called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. It's 107, I think, of the most common discipline questions I get asked, ages 2 to 18. Mm-hmm. Quickest way to get it is to go to my website, drray.com. It's discounted there, and it is signed. So we still sell an awful lot of that book. It's been around 20 years. was my second book I wrote, actually. There's been 17 since then, but that was the second one, and it continues to be a major seller. Discipline that lasts a lifetime. I will tell you, my dear, that will put you back in charge.
Thank you. Oh,
you are welcome, sweetheart. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I know I didn't have any calls up to that point about authority, and I'm thinking, well, I guess I'm way off. I guess everybody has that kind of calm, confident authority that they only say it once and that's it. Child acquiesces. Now, if you get a kid like that first, it's going to mess your parenting up. Oh, you think you're God's gift to parenthood. I just say it once and they know I mean it. Yeah, and then the second one comes along. I call it shell shock second child syndrome. Second one ate your knickknacks when he was 2 years old. The first one, you didn't even have to put your knickknacks up because you just said no, and that was it. They were done. Or you put them in the corner, and they just went there, and they cried themselves to sleep because they just felt so bad for doing something wrong, and they go to the corner once every 9 months, and that's enough. And this one, yeah, you got to put the camping stove there. You got to put shelter. He lives there. A different kid, you know. 877-573-7825. All right. 877-57-EQUAL number. Talk to you soon.
The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi will commence now. We assure you that this randomly selected program is one of Dr. Ray's least worst.
From North Dakota is bringing up an objection, which is fair, because indeed that has happened. Unfortunately, more often than you would like, it isn't enough to say, okay, homeschooling should be illegal because there are too many positives to it. But Marianne from North Dakota wants to share with us a story she came across. Hi, Marianne.
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are.
Thanks.
Anyway, and I love your show. My husband calls you his hero. So let's just start out with that.
You should be his hero.
I'll tell him that. We were traveling, listening to you on the radio, and yeah, you must have said something good about the husband because you said you're his hero. But anyway, a sad story in the news, I'm sure you're aware of a 32-year-old man who weighed 68 pounds, 5 feet 9. Basically, he's been hungry his whole life, is what he told the rescuers. And the school system thought he was being homeschooled. And I personally think homeschool is great. I know a number of people who homeschool, beautiful kids. But what can be done so kids don't fall through the crack like this one did? I mean, I have some relatives, too. I mean, their son wasn't in school. The school system thinks they're homeschooling, and the parents weren't educating him. So what can be done so kids don't fall between the cracks?
Several things. When my wife homeschooled, we had to have a certified teacher sign the lesson plans each year. So there was some sense of monitoring there. The schools can also, there's nothing to stop the schools from making home visits. Schools have counselors, social workers, nurses that can make home visits. Now, of course, that doesn't mean the parents have to let them in. And I would imagine those parents who are trying to hide something would be reluctant to let them in. Sadly, any time somebody can get outside the supervision of responsible people, bad things can happen. I would like to see, and here's what you're saying, Marianne, I would like to see statistics on this, and I think they're there. The number of children who are abused and neglected, percentage-wise now, percentage-wise, because obviously homeschools are only about 5 to 10% of the population, who go to public school and are abused and neglected at home, which doesn't really, isn't significant enough to come to the severe attention of the public school people, as opposed to those people who fake homeschooling like you're talking about. So that's true. This guy that 5'9", 68 pounds, unless he was just secreted in home, there had to be people somewhere in his environment, neighbors or when they went to the store or something.
They didn't. He was locked in a room.
Okay, well, that
his
is nothing.
His abuse was terrible.
Well, see,
his abuse was awful.
It's awful, and that has nothing to do with homeschooling. That's an abusive parent.
See, and they pulled him out of the school system. Well, the principal that knew him as a little boy and saw this hungry little kid come to school, they had called the authorities.
Well, there you
go. And the boy was threatened to lie to the authorities when they did come to the house.
Yeah, so what you're saying is how do we stop abuse and neglect of children? And obviously,
yeah, the school system thought he was homeschooled. That's what they just assumed. You know, people saw this little boy wave at them in the window. One neighbor lady said, "I thought maybe I saw a ghost because I never saw him again."
You're saying he was 32 years old? Wait a minute. You're saying he was 32 years old?
You didn't hear about this, huh?
No.
I mean, I cried a lot of tears over his story. You can just look it up. It was his stepmother.
You can't put that at the foot of homeschooling. You can't.
No, no, no. But I'm... Oh, nope, nope. Homeschooling is not to blame for it. But the school system there thought he was being homeschooled.
Well, I would say this. And this is no excuse for the school system. But we have protective services in every county. And one of the complaints about protective services is that these kids fall through the cracks. There are kids who, in fact, protective services was called. They monitored the situation, however briefly, and they missed it. I saw research done that said there's two things that if protective services are going to make mistakes, there's two ways. One, they miss kids who really need protected. And two, they overprotect children who are being raised by parents that the protective services just doesn't agree with their style, their discipline. I've seen that. So you're right. I'm not familiar with that, but it doesn't surprise me because those stories, sadly, with the decay of the American family, those stories are gaining momentum. Thank you, Marianne. Pam from Connecticut. She homeschooled her 29-year-old daughter. Now, back when she was doing that, you know, homeschooling was just gaining some momentum. Hi, Pam.
Hey, how are you, Dr. Ray?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
I'd like to go back to the parenting style of sending the child, you know, to take a little time out, stand in the corner, put your head down. You know, I raised two daughters. One is 24 and one is 29. And the first one, boy, she was a real handful. Are you with me?
There you go. Yeah, you dropped out for a second there.
Okay. The first one was a real handful. You know, I was asked by many parents have asked me, do you believe in spanking children? And I said, well, I spanked the first one, but I would never spank the second one. Does that make sense?
Well, why the difference?
You know, the first one, from the time she was born, she was just a real handful. I mean, I would get her out of the car seat, and I would say, now stand right here. We're in a busy parking lot. And that kid would run right out in front of a car. I'd have to grab her hand, and I'd give her a whack on the bottom. And now my second daughter, I'd get her out of the car seat, and I'd say, now stand right here by Mommy. And she would grab onto my leg and hold my hand. And just two entirely different children. And the first one, you know, she would misbehave, and I would say, now you need to sit down, and you need to think about what you did. And
well,
I,
you got a freebie. Pam, you got a freebie on that second one. God must have felt sorry for you. Said, you know, we burned out Pam there on that first kid. But remember this, every kid is different to raise, and the parent has to, it sounds like you did it, parent has to rise to the challenge of raising that kid in terms of firmness and discipline and love and affection. Dr. Ray.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
All righty. More calls related to this homeschooling stuff. Anonymous caller from Maryland. I know Lynn wants to give me a big compliment. Don't, Lynn, don't leave me because I'll accept your compliment. But I'm in training for the Humility Award, and I can't go straight to compliments. I have to let them just kind of linger for a while because if you jump on them, it seems kind of self-absorbed. So I'm going to go to Anonymous from Maryland first. Hi, Anonymous. Mom, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, nothing gaining on me.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Eric took it. I didn't, but thank you, Eric.
The question is, I have adult children, but we're trying to do relationship repair stuff. And discipline was really a problem with the middle child, okay? And he is a child now that is alienated himself and because he didn't like discipline. And he kind of fits the profile of a autistic ADHD kid with TDA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, does your advice fit for that kind of profile of, and he's an adult, so I know it's a different thing now, but in curiosity.
Let me ask you this, my dear. If this child has certain differences in his personality, so to speak, maybe some developmental issues.
Yep.
Is he incapable, completely incapable of being socialized and to follow discipline, or is he just more difficult?
Well, here's the thing. According to what I have learned about his profile, he was capable of behaving well at school. But when he came home, okay, that's when the meltdown came.
Well,
okay?
Now wait. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
What's that tell you?
The discipline within the home was not adequate, nor the structure for him.
And I'm not blaming you on that. I'm just simply saying that's very common. Why would he, all day at school, with a teacher who has far less leverage than you do, behave himself well, but when he gets home, he decides, okay, I can push mom all over the place?
And because his father also fits the profile of being on the spectrum, and could not effectively discipline with the same profile. So we were always at odds. I had no backup. Okay.
Now that, you're explaining some of the dynamics there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe what you could do, dear, your helpfulness here would be to warn other parents that if you can't get some of this under control when they're in your home, that as they get older, they're going to bounce against life. And they'll be disciplined by life, and they may even turn on their parents.
Yeah, I think that's what happened, okay? I really do. So I am sharing on your platform, parents, listen up, because you don't want to be in the situation we're in. And because he is on the spectrum with the attention deficit, and his father is, I'm not sure how we tell the family, look, this was very much a part of our family system. And maybe it's not even advisable to. Maybe he has to, you know, learn on his own, but they don't really learn on their own because, you know.
You're tapping into something that was a chapter in one of my earliest books. It was called He's a Special Child. A lot of times parents are reluctant to do the good, healthy things that they need to do as parents, especially in the area of discipline, because they think their kid has a handicap or their kid is incapable at 100%. And I always ask this of parents. They'll say something like, well, you know, he's 12, but he has the emotional maturity of a 9-year-old. I go, well, would you discipline a 9-year-old? Well, yeah. Okay, you answered your question. See, what happens is you become a little unsure of yourself, which is, well, yeah, but he's not really what you would consider like a normal kid. So therefore, I don't know how much he understands, what kind of self-control he has. Yeah, well, you had a little experiment done there, Mom. And that experiment was when he went to school, you found out that indeed he could function according to structure and expectations. You found that out.
Right.
All righty. Thank you, dear, for the call.
But I didn't have the father's cooperation.
Well, you didn't. But I'll tell you what. I talk about this, too, and I don't want to keep pounding away on my books. I talk about this. I talk about when you do not have the other parent's cooperation, what can you do? And I talk about that. And I will tell moms. Moms are still basically, in most homes, the main child raiser. And that means you have the majority of the leverage. We'll do an opening monologue about that sometime. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. All right. This is a very risky phone call. I'm going to have to deny it. I'm going to have to plead the fifth. Lynn's calling from Louisiana, and she wants to be nice to me, and that's okay. But Lynn, what you might want to do, just to kind of mix it up a little bit, don't be overly effusive. Just be kind of cautious in your compliments. Okay. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I love your accent. I love it. Can you say book?
I just wanted to tell you that I've been listening to you for a very, very, very long time, and I love
you. Wait, three varies? Wait, how old do you think I am? Three varies?
That's you're like not as old as me.
I bet I am. Go ahead, dear.
But
so you've
anyway,
been
a long time ago, I heard a lady come on and say that she was getting her money's worth. And I listened many times thinking somebody's going to come in and say this, and no one has ever said it. So I'll say it. Your advice is priceless. So we don't need to get our money's worth at all.
Andrew, flag that woman. Don't let that slip away. See, Lynn, you're going to find yourself on a bumper somewhere down the road. You know that, don't you?
Oh, my goodness.
You'd be a big star.
I have a lot of kids. I have a lot of kids, more than you. And I have a couple of things that work for us. One of them was when they're in college, if they did not obey the house rules again and again, I would say that is your last chance. If you do that one more time, you are choosing to leave. I'm not kicking you out, but you're choosing to leave. I had a couple of them choose to leave. But that was okay.
And they still love you now, don't they?
They do.
Told you. That's right. How many kids, Lynn?
I follow Dr. Ray's advice. I don't want to give the exact number, but
a bunch.
A lot.
Are any still at home?
No. Oh, no. No, they're all married and have at least two children.
Are you saying that of that big passel of kids that you had, every one of them is married?
Yes, and they each have at least two children. And another thing I did with the discipline, which I thought was pretty cool, it turned out well. I would say if you do that, you're going to wish you hadn't, so they couldn't weigh the punishment and decide if it was worth it.
You're going to wish you hadn't. Well, I'll tell you what, honey, it sounds like you really enjoyed motherhood, and judging by the way your kids all growed up, it sounds beautiful, and I can only imagine what Christmas or Christmas Eve is like at your place.
Oh, it's wonderful, and we just have been very, very blessed. But we're very blessed to have someone that has a Catholic perspective that gives very good child raising advice. Thank you so much.
Bless your heart. When you hear that from the veteran mothers, means a lot. Thanks, Lynn.
God bless you.
All right, honey. you know, when we used to go to Myrtle Beach with the kids. And we'd traipse in when they were all under 12, all under 13, 14. And the waitresses would, can you say waitress? I mean, they were women. They were waitresses. I would have to say servers now. They would say, there's 10. They got 10. I counted 10. And my wife would say, 10. Well, a couple of them are probably more like wood, but 10. Andrea from San Antonio, where I'm going to go next week, God willing. I hope to see Andrea there. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I had actually talked to you a couple years ago about my son, Tiberius. And
wait a minute. He conquered Jerusalem.
Yeah. he's doing well. You said I was doing everything right, and I was. He's doing a little better. But I just wanted to comment because I hear a lot of the moms come on here and, you know, they're kind of sketchy of homeschool. And I would say I homeschooled my first when she was my only, and it was during COVID, the COVID lockdowns. And I feel like I should have put her in like an early Head Start program because I can tell the difference between how much she's learned as opposed to my youngest 2 year old. My youngest in school. And,
you're saying how much she's learned in homeschooling?
No. My youngest in school is in early start. We have a program here in San Antonio called Avance. And, they start them as early as literally 6 weeks. And they do sensory learning from like the time that they can't even walk yet. And they'll take them all the way through until they get them ready to prep them for kindergarten. And I can tell my 2 year old is like literally miles ahead from where my oldest was at her age. And I can't stop talking about how great the Avance program is. I know there's like certain things you have to qualify with, but I can really tell the difference in her as opposed to my oldest. My oldest is still having trouble. She's 8. And we're still having problems with her as far as like her reading efficiency and like comprehension. And I just had her tested for ADHD. I had my oldest son tested for ADHD. He was confirmed. But he also, Tiberius, he's my oldest son. He also has hearing loss in his left ear. He's profoundly deaf in that ear. So he's had some cognitive delays because of that. But my oldest is typical hearing, and we're kind of concerned with her because I know she has up until middle of fourth grade to get proficient at reading, but I feel like because she's changed schools so many times, we've changed her schools like 2 or 3 times, that she's had trouble focusing. She's had like
Andrea, let me throw a curveball at you. Because you sound like you've concluded the reason for your 8-year-old's struggles that she didn't have that early stimulation. It may be, and I personally think it probably is, given what you've described, is that she's just a different kid. And your 2-year-old is more developmentally mature. And so she would be learning a lot of this stuff anyway because she absorbs it. Your 8-year-old... you think she didn't have that early stimulation, so therefore that was why she's struggling now. Given that you're testing her, and given that she's gone through a couple of 3 schools, maybe the better explanation is that's just who she is. She struggles a little more to learn, and that even if... The reason I'm saying this is because I'm hoping that you're not feeling, boy, really blew it. You know, we really blew it. We should have jumped in and given her that early stimulation, and she wouldn't be struggling like this now. Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. You can have a child have all the stimulation in the world, but if she's going to struggle a little bit, you'll see it. And that may be what's going on. Okay? So, matter of fact, it probably is what's going on. But your 2-year-old just may be one that... Now, she just absorbs it. She absorbs it earlier, and she's a little more developmentally mature. There you go. That's what I'm thinking, Andrea. You know, But what do I know?
My 2-year-old was also taken care of. We had a babysitter in our house for 2 years, and she was speaking Portuguese to her very early, like infancy, like from the time she was born to like the time that, you know, she, you know, unfortunately left us.
Does your 2-year-old speak Portuguese?
She was, her and my youngest son were actually speaking words in Portuguese when they would ask me for stuff in the kitchen. So,
well, that's understandable.
I don't know.
That's understandable. I mean, I know a lot of parents who do that. David Anders, his little granddaughter, he speaks French to her. And she's 3 years old, and she understands French. Me, I can say ooey ooey mademoiselle. It's about the extent of my French. Andrea, thank you for the call, honey. I'm running out of time, but I appreciate your call. This is Dr. A. You're welcome, honey. Thank you for the company. Appreciate all you guys do. Calling in, I thank Andrew Kruchek, producer man over there in Ann Arbor, and Eric Dumont, call screamer man, and EWTN. A lot of fine, fine people at EWTN. One of the great blessings of my life is to get to know those people. A lot of friends made that way, a lot. Now, I don't know if they like me, but I like them. All right, I thank you for joining me, and Andrew's giving me the countdown. Walk with God. Always. If you fall, grab his hand. Get up.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.